This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2051. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded September 10th, Antarctica, Bhutan, Bougainville, Brazil, Canada, China, Colombia, Cuba, India, Indonesia, Mali, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Poland, Sikkim, Spain, Tajikistan, Tibet, Turkey, UK, USA, Vietnam, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. RAI Buenos Aires was planning a special broadcast via their only shortwave station, the one in Antarctica, LRA 3615476, for Saturday, August 29th. But as reported, it was called off due to bad weather to be rescheduled. They were not on the air the following Saturday, September 5th, probably not September 12th, but in any event, it has now been rescheduled for Saturday, September 19th. The German section's Ryan Brown told Harold Kuhl via the British DX Club. But, of course, subject to another delay, if necessary, because of the weather. It's to be from 15 until 22 UT, alternating Spanish and German. Mostly in Spanish, except for two different half hours in German at 19 and at 20 UT, and then the last sesquiar starting at 20:30 in English. A special QSL to be available. The exact frequency, of course, 15475.98 USB and reduced carrier. And it's so weak that you'll probably need a remote receiver in South America to hear it. On Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports again on BBS Bhutan 6035, September 9th. Heard from 1110, clearly in English, after the news, pop song, and more announcements. He says one of their better days. Their daily cutoff times are not always the same. September 8th went off at 11:30, on the 7th at 11:38, but on the 9th at 11:29. The longer BBS stays on the air, the better his reception. Their Timpu sunset is 12:11. Furthermore, on September 7th, the Chinese station on the same frequency, PBS Yunnan, relaying FM 99, suddenly came on at 11:45, already in progress, so the two stations were not overlapping. Mick Dummage in Alberta reports, NBC Bougainville 3325, September 10th from 12:55 until 14:30. Pop songs, but at times the woman announcer was reading out several numbers at 1330 UT. Not sure what that was all about. On this occasion, there was no co-channel clash from Indonesia until Bougainville faded out around 14:30. Ron Howard replies, listening to Radio Vanuatu with the ABC Radio Australia program, Pacific Beat, I heard an item about the recent Bougainville election. The votes are now being counted and will be completed on Monday, September 14th. So naturally, NBC Bougainville is having extensive coverage, which is what Mick heard. Elections are always a good time to check for shortwave activity. And Mick replies, indeed it did sound like election numbers, the way she was slow rereading each number. A rarely reported Brazilian, heard at least in Brazil on 4965, Rádio Alvorada, by Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in São Paulo State, September 6th at 2208 to 2215 in Portuguese and Brazilian, English music selections, with another station underneath, maybe Zambia. 730 kHz has proven to be an interesting DX frequency, at least in Mid-America. There are only low powers at night in the U.S., as it's a Mexican and Canadian clear channel, mainly occupied by big stations in Montreal, Vancouver, and Mexico City. Well, XEX is no longer a factor, supposedly 100 kilowatts, but it can't be anywhere near that power anymore. As a result, September 8th at 06:30, tune in. I heard a promo for CKDM player options. That's the 10 and 5 kilowatt Dauphin, Manitoba station. But its night pattern is supposedly a broad cardioid with a null due south right toward me. CIDX Messenger reports, news that it appears that Environment Canada has decided to close some, if not all, Weather Radio Canada VHF stations across the country. Joe Lockhart, VE5JL in Saskatchewan, has set up a petition to encourage continuation of that service. It's titled Save Weather Radio Canada. It's at change.org. He says if you listen to your local 162.55 megahertz station, you will hear an announcement. The service in this area is scheduled to be discontinued within the next 6 months. Causing quite a DX sensation is a new missionary station in Colombia on 4940. On September 5th, Rafael Rodriguez sent us news of this and a screenshot of such a signal, accompanied by this information in an English version. New shortwave radio project, a new partnership between ethnicradio.org and Fuerza de Paz to bring the gospel in native languages to Colombia and Venezuela. Ethnicradio.org has supported installation of stations in Bolivia and Peru, both on shortwave and FM, and recording studios for indigenous communities. Fuerza de Paz and its Colombia para Cristo campaign has also developed its work through radio and medium wave, shortwave, and FM. And they're working on the reactivation of the Colombian signals on 5910 and 6010. The night before, September 5th, around 0500, I had a barely audible carrier on 4940, which might have been the listed station in Peru, which is Christian Radio San Antonio, and it had been reported by someone else with a recording in August. Listening again, UT September 6th, I only have a barely audible carrier, but the remote receiver provided by TWR Bonaire is getting a good signal on 4940 with a program called Lecciones de la Historia, which was about Babylon at 0117. I listened for quite a while, but did not hear any IDs, not even between programs, which did not necessarily start at the top or bottom of the hour. It was still going at 0325, but gone when I rechecked at 0345. No IDs, but they have referred several times to the website lamontanacolombia.com, which has connections with the Voz de la Conciencia stations of the Stendals in Colombia. Then Brian Clark in New Zealand reports hearing it 4 hertz below 4940. Reasonable reception around 0630 to 0715, but audible as early as 0530 and heard past 0800, peaking about 0645 with some kind of radio drama. He says reception in northern New Zealand was better than what I could find from remotes in Bonaire, Colombia, and Chile. The schedule has been quite irregular. It has not been on every night, or at least not at full strength, such as UT September 8th, but on September 9th at midnight 58, I could hear a signal, a weak one here, so I brought up the remote in Bonaire. And once again, there was a good S9 signal with a preacher in Spanish. He went on and on for more than an hour with no IDs noted. A bit earlier, Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil was hearing this at 2348 until 0108 UT, spanning September 8th and 9th. Some nights it stays on very late. Ron Howard spotted a log on Facebook from Magdiel Cruz in San Luis Potosi, Mexico, 4940 September 9th at 0552 until 0600. Brandon Jordan in Tennessee, who gave me his old R75, also reports it 5 hertz below 4940 September 9th at 2350. He's atop another signal a bit lower on 4939.71, presumably Radio San Antonio in Peru. And our latest report on it from Alan Pennington in the British DX Club. I heard it at 2300 UT September 9th, signing on via the TWR Bonaire remote. After an opening announcement, they played the Colombian national anthem, at least the third verse of it as announced. So that would seem to pin it down to Colombia, even though they've not given any real ID. We have heard anyway. But he says, according to Santiago Sanhil on WRTH-FB, maybe it's La Voz de tu Conciencia, which used to be on 6010. because he did hear an ID in Spanish and English mentioning that frequency with religious programming in a Colombian indigenous language. A slight correction to last week. The missing English broadcast to Africa from Radio Havana, Cuba at 23 UT is 7380, not 7385. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. They too are confused about frequencies. September 8th at 2136, I heard them in Spanish on 15340 instead of 15370. But the next day at 2051 in choking Arabic, they were back on 15370. Joe's Jacob reports flash news to DX India, September 7th. The Vivid Bharati transmission on 9380 via Aligarh, 250 kilowatts, has been taken off the air from Friday, 4 September. The entertainment channel Vivid Bharati, which means Indian variety, is still available on many AIR stations, FM and medium wave, and live streaming. It seems it is for the very first time that it is not on shortwave since it began in 1957 to meet the competition offered by Radio Ceylon. For some time, AIR stations in four different cities were transmitting Vivid Bharati on 10330. Remember that? Way out of band. Ron Howard reports on the other 3325 station, Voice of Indonesia, via Palangkaraya. On September 4th, he heard the last half of the English segment at 1330 UT, audio at semi-readable level about COVID-19 and other things, and that was the frequency, the only one they announced, as it is also the only one on their website, although supposedly they're also on 4750. On 5995, September 6th at 0638, I enjoyed some nice thumb piano music, 10 over 9, from Radio Mali, and good modulation, no interference. Manuel Mendes also confirms the weekly English news segment was back on 5995, Saturday, September 5th, at 1850 to 1905, when we would have to employ a remote. Say, I wonder how the coup d'etat is coming along. Thanks to lightning sunrises, I'm again hearing some Northwest Mexicans, such as on 6:50, September 4th at 1200, Radio 65, XETNT in Los Mochis, Sinaloa, starting their morning news show, but first, some really frantic banda music. Nice to still be hearing this, especially since, according to Tim Hall, it's one of many AM stations dropped from official listings, but it has not evacuated AM for FM. On September 4th, Rodney Johnson in Minnesota was listening to Radio New Zealand on 5945 when it suddenly went off the air at 1200. He tuned around and quickly found them on a stronger frequency, 6115, but that's not scheduled. By 14, they were back on the correct frequency, 6170, or maybe they were testing their backup transmitter. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2051. A non-commercial service, also providing the extensive non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Robert W. Gruska in Glendale, New York, who sent a contribution via PayPal to woradio@yahoo.com. And he says, thank you for your efforts producing a timely and informative program each week and for keeping the shortwave radio hobby alive. And thank you, Robert, who's been contributing to us periodically at least since 2009. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Via Mike Terry, an announcement from the Grimeton VLF station in Sweden that a sister station shall reappear in the stratosphere on 12 September. A balloon experiment launched by Warsaw University of Technology planned to lift off September 12th with a unique VLF 220-meter-long fully airborne antenna system, creating an EM field on 14.2 kilohertz. That's the former frequency of Babice radio station in Poland. It's delivering very important data for a doctoral dissertation. Any and all feedback on reception of the signal is extremely important. The estimated liftoff time is between 11 and 12 UT on September 12th from an airport in Poland, The flight duration about 3 hours. Maximum altitude 30 kilometers. Mission type A1, narrow band. The operation starts on the ground and the antenna rises with the balloon ascending. About Sikkim, Joe Jacob reports to DX India September 10th. I was not getting any shortwave transmissions from AIR Gangtok lately on 4835 or 6085. I contacted the station and was told the shortwave transmitter is under repair since the 8th of September, and hence off the air, and a similar message from AIR Aizawl inside India about 5050 and 7295. On Friday, September 4th, we found Spanish foreign radio broadcasting nothing but dead air on all four frequencies at 22 UT when there should have been English, and the dead air continued for some hours thereafter. Fortunately, by Monday, September 7th at 22, they had resumed broadcasting, including English. WBCQ and its listeners should be aware of an interference problem noted by Wolfgang Büschel in Germany as he was monitoring the clandestine voice of Tibet, transmitted via Tajikistan between 23 and midnight UT, September 4th. They jump around always on odd frequencies, but they were near 7490, namely 7476, 7484, 7491, and 7496, which caused the CNR1 jamming to be on 7490 exactly, part of the time among other frequencies. I continue to check Voice of Turkey's 22 UT broadcast in English for North America on 9830 as often as possible. On September 9th, it was on the air, at least as far as the remote in Holland, with a 50/9 signal on their meter. Yet it sounded weaker and noisy, as if there were a thunderstorm nearby, but Blitzortung showed there were none, so it may have been their own transmission problem. Furthermore, it was 58 Hz off frequency plus. It was a Wednesday, but among the programming there was, again, no letterbox. Stephen Luce sends a variety story, September 3rd. The BBC has a new boss. Will he enforce the radical change it needs to survive? Well, it turns out this is all about TV or domestic radio, not a mention anywhere of shortwave or the world service. Anyhow, the new DG is Tim Davey, D-A-V-I-E. Despite the high summer storm noise level, I keep checking 2097.3 kHz for that single-letter beacon A, which is thought to be anywhere but Quartzsite, Arizona, but I've not heard it in many weeks. And now Joe Caberlin in Nova Scotia tells me the letter A station on 2097.3 has been QRT for some time now. It had been RST-579 on the remote in Alberta, VE6JY, after dark for many nights. Kim Elliott refers to an opinion piece he wrote for The Hill on September 2nd titled Much Ado About News. Here's a bit of it. He says, all this talk about security clearances, access to classified documents, and national security cannot be helpful to the credibility of U.S. AGM journalists, giving the impression that they are involved in top-secret conferences with the Department of State, National Security Council, the CIA, Department of Defense, and other agencies to formulate the ideal spin to the news that is distributed to gullible audiences abroad. Reporters at the U.S. AGM entities should not have access to classified documents. As far as I can determine, they don't, except when they get hold of the same leaks available to private media. Access to classified material should be limited to a very small number of administrators who are involved in tasks such as placing relay facilities overseas. To enhance security, senior non-journalist personnel, along with their padlocked file cabinets, can be placed in a separate building. Then let the U.S. AGM newsrooms get on with the business of reporting news. David Cole sends a Washington Post story of September 2nd reviewing the current situation titled New Voice of America Overseer Called Foreign Journalists a Security Risk. Now the staff is revolting. Yet Michael Pack has presented no evidence that anyone at VOA is a foreign intelligence agent, nor has he explained why VOA and sister agencies such as RFE and RFA, media organizations that do not control sensitive government information, why they would be an appealing target for penetration by a hostile power. 14 senior journalists at VOA have sent a letter to acting director Elez Biberoy protesting PAC's actions, which they said harmed the agency's mission and endangered its reporters. After the letter was first published by NPR, 27 more VOA journalists added their names to it. The letter seemed to trigger an explosion of tension that had been building inside the organization since PAC began making sweeping changes. Ben Cobb wrote the following for the DRMNA Info blog, September 6th, headlined, Radio Engineer Files Objection to WIPE. On September 3rd, Alex Pilosoff of Shortwave Solutions filed with FCC an objection to WIPE, the DRM-based HF station of Terms Tech of New York, presumed to be ready to broadcast from the Armstrong Tower in Alpine, New Jersey. WIPE is suspected to be intended mainly for secret, non-broadcast message transmission for private trading clients, while broadcasting financial and economic news for the public. WIPE is not yet operational. It's waiting on FCC license, but Pilosoff took aim at possible glitches in its application. Also raises issue of whether U.S. shortwave stations can legally conduct non-public telecommunications in the broadcast bands in a service limited to broadcasting. Pilosoff is a consultant to HF stations in the experimental radio service, which are not constrained by the broadcast rules. Thus, he or his clients are prospective competitors to WIPE. He also filed against the application of parable broadcasting for WPBC, a DRMHF station proposed for Batavia, Illinois. Anyone is free to petition the FCC to allow HF broadcasters to conduct non-broadcast operations, but that would be a public process. What is happening now is not public. The applicants have not disclosed what they intend to do with their data streams, so it is impossible to tell if they should be licensed. An FCC HF broadcast license states that it is only for broadcasting and not other purposes. And this led to a lot more discussion on the World of Radio IO group, such as the matter of FM subcarriers, which are not for the public either. Such as Bob Bierman of WRMI commenting, I think the FCC should permit it like it does data in any other service. Currently, DRM has data visible to the public, and if it can help defray the cost of operation, it would be a huge help to the private shortwave community. Remember, there are no subsidies to a private broadcaster. Many complain about much of the programming on analog shortwave. Without it, the stations would be off the air and dismantled. Allowing a DRM service with both a public and private component would be helpful. Remember the new World of Radio time on WRMI for the first airing anywhere, Thursday evening, UT Friday at 0130 on 5850 and 5010. WBCQ's 5130 transmitter needs some refurbishing, and Larry Will now advises us that effective September 19th, we're moving all programming currently on 5130 to 6160. The Area 51 entertainment block will continue Saturdays and Sundays from 23 until 04 UT, including World of Radio, but the frequency will change to 6160. That is UT Mondays at 0300. Way out here in Oklahoma, I've found reception is much better on 6159.9. Earlier under Canada, I mentioned that 730 kHz is a good DX frequency. I've also heard a couple of little U.S. stations on it. One of the few AM stations remaining carrying Brother Scare is KQPN in West Memphis, Arkansas. And another evening, I also heard Colorado Rockies Baseball, which must have been their affiliate, just across the border, KLOE in Goodland, Kansas. Les Rayburn of the Courtesy Programs Committee informs us that WNJC 1360 in Washington Township, New Jersey, will be running a long-duration DX test for 6 hours, two nights in a row. Thanks to Duke Hammond, chief engineer, both Saturday and Sunday mornings, September 12th and 13th, from midnight to 6 a.m. Eastern, that is 04 until 10 UT, running full daytime power of 5,000 watts. Listen for sweep tones, CW Morse code, and other material created by Les Rayburn to hear their station over the noise. Reception reports can be sent to his ham call, kc2dux at duxpond.com. He will provide a QSL card if you email and specifically ask for one. Otherwise, it may be a simple email reply. If you want a paper QSL, it will require an SASE. At night, I frequently have a barely audible carrier on 1710 kHz, which could be one of several TIS stations or a pirate. But September 10th, at 0637 past 0645 UT, I heard a loop definitely mentioning COVID-19 several times at peaks versus the storm noise level. This must be the station in Secaucus, New Jersey, which has been reported by others closer to there recently, such as Harold Froge in Michigan and Larry Will in Maryland. It's WQFG689 in Secaucus, Hudson County, which has been reported with traffic info and even some music, but also about COVID-19. Its distance from me is 2,119 kilometers. It's getting out because it's believed to be running more than the usual 10 watts for a TIS, maybe as much as 100. On September 7th, 8th, and 9th UT, I noted the Voice of Vietnam relays via WHRI missing on 7315. They had been running for years between midnight and 02 UT in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese. Yet WHRI is still doing its own programming on the frequency after 0200. I can't get their program schedules to display anymore at the website. Maybe they're winding down in preparation for the sale to WBCQ. But now we have an explanation from Jeff White on AWR Wavescan. I quote, "We have information that Voice of Vietnam relays from South Carolina, WHRI, are going to be discontinued, most likely, as the station is planning to probably eliminate its shortwave broadcasts altogether. And it may do shortwave broadcasts to the U.S. via some local AM and FM stations. I suppose that comes from the recent HFCC virtual conference. VOV still has a number of other broadcasts, including English scheduled direct, including at 16 UT. I confirm that's still on the air, September 9th on 9730, 7280, and 7220, using the remote in Holland. On that date, they were also running their mailbag program, which said, since September 1st, these broadcasts are temporarily off due to technical problems. 7315 to Eastern North America, and 12020 to Indonesia. That and parallel 9840 are always considerably off frequency minus, between 10 and 1530 UT. It so happens VOV has just celebrated its 75th anniversary as of September 7th, and they're moving to a digital mode of broadcasting, according to a story on their own website via Tony Malloy. However, it does not say anything one way or the other about continuing or dropping shortwave. Titled Radio Voice of Vietnam Targets Internet Users with New Digital Platform, launched September 4th, VOV Live, offering users unlimited access to diversified content produced, including its huge archive of radio shows aired over the past semi-sesquicentury. The propagation outlook from SW's PC Boulder, September 7th, geomagnetic field, unsettled on 18 and 19 September, unsettled active on 23 to 29 September, with G1 minor storm levels possible on the 27th. ANKNC is peaking at 25 and 5. Solar flux steady at 70 through October 3rd. And that's World of Radio 2051. Glenn Hauser here, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Concluding with a standard disclaimer.